The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, sometimes to its own detriment. Some texts. Can the station do us all a favor and block Gary? No, we don't block people on this show. We don't. Another text. I'm a black man. He doesn't speak for me. Gary feels the need to bring up the community at all times. And look, maybe he does feel like there's a lack of representation here. To his credit, yeah, we are all white.
Yeah, I will say, no, he is right.
We are all white.
There is not a lot of representation. But the problem is, when he calls, he just says that and then gives a sports take. He doesn't, like, tie the two together in any way.
If he tied the two together, then great. But he never does.
And then it just turns into, no, but we disagree with you in the barbershop. It's like...
And it's like, cool, dude.
Yeah,
well,
people have different opinions. I don't know.
In the salon I'm in with Annie, she agrees with all my takes on sports because she doesn't watch them. So how about that? How about that? Hashtag mic drop. Hey, speaking of mic drops, I drop into a fit of rage every single time I see Rafael Montero come out of the bullpen. And I mean, guys, where are we at this point with Montero? Maybe a wellness check should be done for Jeremy Branham, who decided to pick up his sword and pick up his shield and guard the realms of men against those who would question the wonder, the mystique of Rafael Montero. But last night is a lot like all the nights I saw in Seattle. And last year, I think, was an anomaly. And I'm not going to hold that against Montero. The contract that the Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell, GM-less, whatever the hell it was, board gave Montero. That's the big problem that I think we should be focusing on. I do think Montero is not the biggest problem for this team. I am hopeful that Montero will be able to shake out of this. Better to have these issues now than Aroldis Chapman style, Kenley Jansen style in the postseason. But the big problem, obviously the injuries are number one. Altuve, Luis Garcia, Michael Brantley, Jose Urquidy, Chaz McCormick's finally back last night. The injuries are the biggest problem of all. And it's nice that you can still say that. And it's something you should remind yourself if you are frustrated that the Astros are sub-500 this far into the year and that they've lost three games in a row for the second time this year after last night's 6-4 loss to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which was again due to Rafael Montero, who came in, allowed a walk, got a fly out, but then allowed a 3-run triple to the deepest part of the ballpark.
I have noticed both one this segment triple. And the first segment, whenever you talk about Rafael Montero, you do this like hushed tone, like a very hushed, serious tone.
What am I supposed to do, Sean?
No, it's just funny. It just is not how you talk about anything
because
else.
I'm resigned to this. I know what this is. Okay, see, this is why Sean's great. Unleashing the dragon.
Because it sounds like there's like been this massive, it's like on the news when they like, and now a more serious story. And like, that's what this is every time Montero pitches.
But I don't want to speak excitedly about this. I don't want to be patting myself on the back for being right about one of the rare things in baseball I'm right about. But if I stick my neck out for something like this, saying Montero's the same guy in Seattle, please believe me. There are very few things in baseball I'm going to stand on a ledge for. That's all I'm telling you is believe me. Right now, I think I'm just speaking one-on-one to Jeremy. I'm just grabbing him by the shirt. Jeremy, Christ, brother, you need to let this go. It's not getting better. It's not. It's not happening. I know you want it to. I want it to. We all wanted to. Last year was a fluke. It was. And he got paid for it. Good for Rafael Montero. Bad for either Jim Crane or Jeff Bagwell. Probably Jeff Bagwell more so. Because we're talking about what? We're talking about people. We're talking about baseball. We're talking about ball. We're not talking about numbers and analytics. And now Rafael Montero is on my Mount Rushmore of people that I do not want to see enter a game in Houston sports. He already kind of was there. basically I have a friend right now where I just text him Montero. We just text each other whenever Montero comes out of the bullpen. That's it. And guess what? In 16 appearances, he's allowed 13 games of those pitches. Excuse me, 13 of those appearances, he has allowed a hit, including last night. So he joins on the Mount Rushmore of people I never want to see in a game for Houston athletes. Deshaun Nix, the tank machine for your Houston Rockets, who is a point guard, I guess. And at this point, Davis Mills. Davis Mills. Never want to see him on the field again. No offense to Davis Mills. Not even for the Mills cat or the Perry cat or whatever the hell they're going to try again, because I guess Jeff Driscoll's not there anymore.
Really? Deshaun Nix?
Yes, Deshaun Nix, Sean. Huh.
He was instrumental in getting the second overall lottery off.
He was instrumental in helping the Rockets get a 14% chance at the number one overall pick, which they would have had if they were the worst, second worst, or third worst team in the NBA. But hey, Deshaun Nix.
Yeah.
That Deshaun Nix played for this team last year is I think, a major indictment.
It's a lottery talent. They got with like the second or the last pick in the first round, second to last pick in the first round.
And again, not Nix's fault. This is Raphael Stone's fault. Like, hey, I want to make Paul Gallant kill himself while he watches Rockets basketball, as if he hasn't done that enough in his 10 years here in Houston. I want him to hate himself, but this time we'll be doing it with a team that's actively trying to lose as opposed to a team that just has no honor and flops and travels and doesn't play defense. Anyway, you're good at getting me riled up.
It was just hard to listen to, like, ladies and gentlemen, there's been another event this
but
time
there
in, the
has.
Pacific, in the Southern California.
The Astros are under attack by Rafael Montero and his appearances. The Rafael Montero show, it's eventful
on the outside. In two of the last four Astros games, there's been a domestic terrorist event. And it's Rafael Montero coming in the eighth inning.
I mean, it's
hug
like
your loved ones tonight. If you see this man, do not serve him.
Sean is making fun of me because I sounded like Walter Cronkite in the first segment.
They're all gone.
There's been a
cigarette burning in your hand for 2 hours.
So injuries are the biggest problem for the Astros, the top of the lineup and the offense as a whole. That's the second biggest problem. Dubon seems to be cooling off. I know he had the single and the two outs in the third inning to start that two-out rally. Bregman's hitting just .205. He did get some good contact on the ball last night, so there's that. But I wonder, and Dusty's so stubborn with the lineups, if you think about changing the lineup around to maybe have Bregman bat a little bit later, say he has another dud of a night tonight against Shohei Ohtani. And look, the rotation isn't pitching deep into games, and that's why you're getting a lot of Rafael Montero. It's not great that Montero's already pitched like 16 games this year, right? And I mean, maybe that would be the number at this point, but it seems like he's on pace for a lot if we're going to do on pace guy, right? Like they've played, what, 35 games? 16 of 35, that's a little over 40%. What's he going to have, like 80 appearances this year? Close to 80 appearances this year? Framber's had six quality starts, but I mean, the two guys that you trust the most now in your rotation, and again, part of this is due to injuries, are averaging less than six innings pitched tonight. Javier and Hunter Brown. And then after that, like, Brandon Belak, good luck. JP France, good luck. Like, I'm not expecting France to have another outing like he had on Saturday. That was against the team with the worst average in baseball. The Mariners can't hit either. Like, they really can't hit. Still scored enough to beat you 2-3. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text as well. Some people are frustrated with the Montero contract. Where do you think it ranks among current problems for the Houston Astros? By the way, you go to Astros games, you might have a problem in the near future. They're coming for something that you deserve as a God-given right. I'll tell you what that is next.
Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, a program that I began sounding like a news anchor, announcing that Rafael Montero had, once again, like Godzilla, burned down the entire city.
Something happened at a parade in Orange County, Los Angeles.
Oh.
President Rafael Montero. No, actually, it would be the Astros' chances of winning have been shot from a book depository.
There's been so much.
Police expect Rafael Montero as the.
I don't want to make too many jokes, but there's been a lot of bad news over the last couple of days. So I don't want to quite go that far, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry I sounded so glum talking about it. It was because I was trying to not say, hey, I was right. The one thing, the only time you should ever listen to me on baseball is the guy in Seattle that the Astros signed. Actually, what he was last year.
The answer
was no.
What a niche. What a corner.
All I got. This is all I got.
And Abraham Toro. You're That's also it. Really plugged
in. And I was wrong on him. So, I mean, bleep me, right? Text. Montero played for the Rangers, and now he's helping them be in first. Coincidence, or is he really a sleeper cell? Good question. Another text. This is from Tone. Please stop taking Gary's calls, bro. And I'm black too. We can't censor people. This show refuses to censor people. I don't block people on Twitter. The only people I've blocked are for fun. Like, I blocked Joel Osteen because I thought it was funny. And I blocked Chris Broussard. And I blocked Phil Sims. There's no reason for any of it. I just like to say that I've blocked three people. It's just those three. You can say mean things to me on this show, and I don't care. I don't. But I got to say, like, Gary's got to bring, like, a new angle. We have a call, I think, in relation to Gary's call, because he was talking about how the station needs more diversity to appreciate Harden and what he could do for the young players. And they're talking about it at the barbershop. Julian, what's going on? Are you at the barbershop?
No, man, but I'm there quite frequently.
Okay.
It may not be his. But it's the same kind of establishment he's talking about. Nobody wants Harden. Nobody wants Harden at that barbershop. And they are all the same representation as Gary.
Julian, I appreciate this. Because all I can do with Harden is look the other way. And, I mean, if he plays well tonight and somehow the Sixers win this series, I think I'm willing to look the other way. What I can't get past is that in Game 1 and Game 4, he did more than he ever did with the Rockets. Like, his entire career in Philadelphia is now more legitimate than his time in Houston, where he did win an MVP. To me, because he did it in those big spots. Is that also the conversation? What about Harden are you guys, like, all
well,
out
the, So the thing about Harden that they don't like is he comes to camp he does these things that are not championship conducive.
I feel like you're walking around, Julian, so I appreciate the phone call. Non-championship conducive things, we know what they are.
And I think he said that they don't like that he comes into camp out of shape.
Right. That's my big frustration. Sorry to be fascist and stuff in 2023, you know? Lizzo, Yas Queen, and all. But if you've watched the show, like Watch Out for the Big Girls, who are all very good at dancing, like better at dancing than me, you might notice they're out of breath a lot. If you ever watch the show, just look for the people who are out of breath. I wonder why.
I want the Rockets to sign James Harden and then trade for Zion Williamson and just... Just so Paul just has to,
man. Because Zion's a giant fraud. Like the
Paul Shallow Hal Gallant.
Listen, this is the one thing where I think we should be allowed to be right, and you don't have to be crazy about it. There are some players that went too crazy with it. Rob Johnson, former quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Buffalo Bills, famously supplanted Doug Flutie in the Music City Miracle playoff game. That's why I think it's the curse of Doug Flutie. Rob Johnson was ripped and shredded and was obsessed with his body. Obsessed with it, from what I hear. And like, he was ripped. Looked like a surfer. Maybe he had a little bit more meat on the bones. He wouldn't have gotten hurt as much as he did.
Yeah, it's the Brady Quinn thing, too.
You can work out too much, but I mean, he's looked like he's been wearing a fat suit multiple times. And I think it's not a coincidence that, especially this round of the playoffs, the round that where it starts to matter and get a little bit tougher and games are being played every other night, I don't think it's unrelated that Harden generally this time of year is going to not show up in some games. And I mean, game three, good God. Game three juxtapositioned with game one and game four. Like, I don't know what to say. But I know that the Rockets are looking at game one and game four. And hey, if he can distribute like that and be efficient with the three-point shooting, I might be able to let it slide. Guys, there's something that might be a tad concerning to you. Because all of a sudden, the things that people have believed to be inalienable rights are being wrested away. You might have noticed a couple of weeks ago that the Astros, benevolent team that they are, with games being a little more quick these days, have decided that they're going to allow for the sale of alcohol to the end of the game, or I believe if 3.5 hours have passed. I think that's the specific like little extra rule added in so that people aren't going to go too crazy when they're going to Minute Maid Park. But there were a couple of other teams that did this. It wasn't just the Astros. It was the Brewers, the Diamondbacks, Twins, and Rangers. The Orioles have already been doing this for a long time. Well, the Brewers have changed their minds about extending beer sales beyond the seventh inning of home games. The Brewers, and I'm not talking about big beer. I'm not talking about Miller or Bud Light or any of that. I'm talking about the actual Milwaukee Brewers. They were the first ones to do it. They're the first ones to stop it. I'm concerned. I am concerned. There are a lot of reasons that are given as to why alcohol isn't sold past the seventh inning. But the reason that it's usually not done is because ballparks tend to empty out around then. It has nothing to do with this idea that you are trying to prevent drunk drivers, in my humble opinion. It might be pushed as that, but the Brewers said their decision to reverse course wasn't due to any fan behavior. They felt that the sale of concessions dropped precipitously in the late innings, so keeping vendors open another inning wasn't producing a significant increase in sales, and obviously you have to pay hourly wages for that. So that's why they're saying they're stopping it. And I'm assuming that's one of the reasons that teams across baseball don't do it. It's not actually, oh, well, we're preventing people from drunk driving. I don't believe that a corporation is like really thinking about that. They want every single penny they can get, these greedy Major League Baseball
players. Yeah, if they cared that much, they just wouldn't sell alcohol. Like that's the easiest fix. Is just right. Don't sell any alcohol.
You know, it reminds me, Sean, of an important scene in the Chuck Norris movie, Lone Wolf McQuade. If you haven't seen it, it's bleeping awesome. I think David Carradine's the bad guy in it. It's an old movie. Lone Wolf McQuade is a lone wolf. But all of a sudden, he meets a wonderful woman who decides to move in with him. He comes home to his house one day, and all of a sudden, as he's looking through his fridge, he realizes that all of his favorite suds have been replaced with vegetables.
Where's my beer?
In the garbage.
I'm just here killing yourself.
Lady, I want to kill myself. It's my own business.
What a man. But don't take my beer. Where's my beer? Seventh inning and later, I want to have it. I want the ability to get my $500 El Tiempo margarita.
Where's my beer?
I want the beerita, baby. If it's too sweet, because the beerita is a correction. I need my drinks, okay?
Where's my beer?
Don't take it away from me. This is America. This is America. What would Chuck Norris do if you took his beer away from him? He'd throw all the vegetables into a garbage bin and put his beer that was in the garbage bin back in the fridge. Don't take this away from me. I want to be able to have my $625.33 Bregarita, which is literally just a plastic cup that's been dipped in tahini, but it costs like $4 extra for some reason. I need this. Don't take it from me. I'm not an alcoholic. Stop. Stop saying this. Stop saying this to all the people out there. It's weird that alcohol sales stop in the middle of a game. You should be being responsible anyway when you're there, or you're really going to take it out of the hands of the people that much. Half of them are going to be stuck in the parking lot for probably an hour after the game as it is. I don't buy this, and I know there were some people out there. I think there's some pitcher in baseball who's like, this is horrible. This is going to lead to bad things. Is it really? People are going to drink. Stopping it in the seventh inning is not necessarily making things better, especially if you get like an 18-inning game on your hands or something like that. I feel for the people of Seattle in that playoff game. Not only to lose like that, but to lose while sober. Not fun. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text. And where does Rafael Montero rank among your concerns about the Houston Astros? I obviously don't want to see Montero much in the near future. I feel like maybe putting him on the injured list, giving him some time to work through whatever would be helpful. But the Astros pitching staff, the way that it is, you might have to have him pitch through it. I don't think he's the biggest problem for the team right now. He's just the loudest problem. He's just the one that you see the most and can point at the most. Up next, Texans ownership claims that they did not push for Nick Caserio to draft a quarterback with that number two overall pick. Do you believe them? Plus, the concrete jungle where dreams are made of are doing what they do best again. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call in or text in on the HR&P listener line. Rafael Montero. I mean, we know what he is. If you're saying that there's a better version of Rafael Montero than this here in Houston, I think you're in denial. I think last year was a fluke. Now, as far as the Houston Texans are concerned, you might have remembered that after the draft on Friday, I took my deluxe aluminum foil hat, put it on my head, and expanded on a conspiracy theory that I had. The theory was this. The Texans' actual football operations, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, wanted Will Anderson with the second overall pick. But sensing that the fan base would get pissed off if a quarterback wasn't taken, the McNair family said, hey, look, Nick, D'Amico, we get it. We know you want Anderson, but we also know this fan base needs something to get excited about. So here's what we're going to do. You guys take C.J. Stroud. You can trade up whatever you need to go and get Will Anderson as well. We will green light any trade, even if on the outside looking in, it looks like you gave up a lot. And it makes sense when added to the idea that Nick Caserio was potentially thinking about leaving the organization after the draft. There were some rumors of that. He felt the need to actually come out and deny them. Maybe he thought that he was being overruled and he didn't like the situation that he was being put in. Also to keep in mind, Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle had reported that the Texans started doing some late research on C.J. Stroud that they hadn't done before. Again, it's a conspiracy. All I have is that information right there. At a golf tournament yesterday, we saw both Cal McNair and Hannah McNair, the two running the show for the Houston Texans, and they addressed that rumor.
Hannah and I do not make the draft picks, so we'll be clear there. But we have a great group of scouts, and led by Nick and James Lipford, and they did a lot of work on the draft board, and then they followed that on draft day, and they moved up when they saw the value was there and moved back, you know, and so it's a lot of fun to be in there. I wish everyone could be in there. There's a lot of excitement. But at any rate, it was fun. It was a fun day, and we felt really good about it.
No one thinks that they made the draft picks. I don't think that them saying this means that they are. in the clear here. I don't. Now, I'd like to believe that there is a separation between football operations and state, if you will. But with an organization that is clearly listening a lot more to its fan base and understands their frustrations, can you really rule out that a conversation was had about how you have to get a quarterback? Because that would not be making the draft pick. If you had the directive going into the draft, you need to get a quarterback in the first round, that's not making the draft pick. It's take the best quarterback that you can get with that number two pick.
Also, you can do a lot of like, oh, and so we're not looking at quarterbacks. You can do a lot of those where you make it very clear what you want without, like you said, of just being like, so what's our plan at quarterback? Every time they talk about, every time Nick Caserio or the scouts or D'Amico Ryans talks about, well, we're thinking Will Anderson. We really love Will Anderson, number two. And then you just go, so what's the plan at quarterback? There's a lot of quarterback. What's wrong with C.J. Stroud? What's wrong with Anthony Richardson?
I don't even think you need to ask those follow-up questions, Sean. I think what you said is exactly right. It's, what are you doing about quarterback?
Yeah, and you just make it very clear to Nick Caserio that, hey, I would like a at least the start to starting to answer the question of who is the Texans franchise quarterback. You just make it clear that, hey, if we don't have a quarterback at this time next year, maybe Nick Caserio isn't making the draft pick.
100%. And also, keep in mind, how many people in any field are so principled that they're going to do exactly what they want to do, consequences be damned? I mean, Nick Caserio is next up on the chopping block. Whether fair or unfair, he is up next. He is the next scapegoat. It's not going to be D'Amico Ryans, that's for damn sure. Guy who played for this team.
Although, you know, after 1 year, I think you can fire him, right?
No.
That everyone would be super chill about that, right?
This is the first time where you absolutely, under any circumstances, can't even float a rumor that you would do it with D'Amico Ryans. You can't with this one. This is the one where the entire alums of the organizations would revolt, and this would become like essentially like a franchise with no history because the history doesn't want to be part of the history anymore.
I'm just saying that, you know, depending on this year it goes, maybe Josh McCown looks really good as quarterback coach in Carolina.
That is an interesting thing to keep an eye on, in addition to the Bryce Young versus C.J. Stroud comparison, Sean. It's interesting you bring that up. So we do a segment with the Astros a lot called Keep That Same Energy, and this isn't quite Astros related, so we're just going to say that New York has a problem. And I've said this a couple of times. I'm a little biased as someone from Boston, but I think New York is a loser sports town. I really do. It's the only way you can explain people like Jake Asman who are still optimistic about the New York Jets. Like how? What's wrong with you? You think this is going to work out with Aaron Rodgers? Okay. And I love Jake. Jake and I can actually talk to each other like this. I remember having a conversation once before we went to Vegas and Circa where Jake was like, you just can't imagine a world where the Jets are better than the Patriots. And I was like, I can't. I really can't. You guys are that big of a joke to me. And obviously the Giants have a couple of Super Bowls, but they were so bad for the majority of the last 20 years. You have the New York Rangers. I think they've won one Stanley Cup ever. And it was like a really long time ago. You have the New York Knicks, who supposedly have all this history, and they're down 3-1 to the Miami Heat. They're throwing parades after a game one win. The Miami Heat are just kicking their ass because the Knicks are, let's be honest, a soft basketball team. And the thing that New York does, which just really multiplies the loser energy, is they make excuses. And obviously we've seen it with the New York Yankees against the Houston Astros. But New York media is starting to do it too. And Mike Greenberg, Jets fan, had this to say about why the Knicks aren't playing as well as they could in Miami.
Particularly from Jalen, was how hard it is to go down to Miami and play this time of year. And I know people will immediately associate that with the nightlife and all that. But according to Jalen, there's more than that. There's also just the reality of the temperature change, the heat, the geography, being down there for 3 days, it sort of saps a little bit of your energy and your strength. We talk about that primarily in football. I know this is an indoor sport, but I mean, the Knicks, whatever it is, Jimmy Butler is just has just destroyed them.
I mean, it's as simple as Jimmy Butler has just destroyed them. Right?
No.
You're buying into these excuses,
yeah,
Sean?
It's so hot and humid. How are they supposed to play?
It's May, you... I'm not going to say the word.
Yeah, okay,
it's
Bob
May.
Huggins.
We'll hear from Bob Huggins in the last segment. It's May. How soft are you? It's not even that bad in Florida right now.
It's so hot.
It's in the 80s. It's in the 80s. And, by
and
the way,
humid. And humid, though.
It's just such a soft
FTX
city.
Arena is so humid.
New York is so soft. They really are. Concrete jungle where dreams are made of. We're tough. But when our sports teams lose, oh, it's too hot in Miami in a basketball arena. Are you kidding me,
Greeny? No, it's hot outside. It's not hot in the arena.
You're right. It's not like this is the San Antonio Spurs and LeBron James.
That was legitimate.
That was actually brutal. And LeBron gets way too much crap for that. Like, I'm not a LeBron fan, but that was BS that he got railroaded for that. Like, that was an oven that they were playing in. But this is crazy. Here's another excuse. So the Tampa Bay Rays, did they sweep the Yankees over the weekend? All I know is that they did come back from down 6-0 against the Yankees on, I want to say, Sunday, and won 7-6. And they gave Gerrit Cole his first couple of home runs allowed of the year. And afterwards, on WFAN, there's a show with Craig Carden, the guy who went to jail. And he did.
No, that is how you know him.
Yeah, that's how you know him. He's the guy who went to jail that's still, like, he's back. Back doing radio. Hey, he went to the same college that I did, and he went to the same campus radio station that I did. So,
and he went to the same jail that you did?
Maybe in the future. I don't know. Depends on if I don't even know what he did.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough, you can go to that jail.
Anyway, Craig Carden and Evan Roberts of WFAN, to keep consistent with New York constantly making excuses for their lousy sports teams, here is Evan Roberts with a theory about the Tampa Bay Rays.
Tampa's playing stupid ball right now.
Yeah, and there's something suspicious about that, by the way.
Yeah, they're probably
very
cheating.
I didn't say it,
yeah.
But all I know is I'm a baseball fan. I know baseball. I like baseball. I was very skeptical with what I saw this weekend.
Yes, me too.
I have no evidence other than
journeyman outperforming that baseball card.
All of them. Christian Bethencourt? Hello? Taylor Walls?
Yeah.
What? Because you know what we do, most of us do? We don't know who they are, so we say, oh, the Rays are brilliant. Here's the problem. I know who they are. They're not good.
Yeah.
The Rays are 19-3 at home.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Is everybody going to wake up? Are you going to wake up when the article's written in The Athletic, or are you going to wake up now? Sometimes you don't need evidence. Sometimes you got to say, what I'm watching doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I'll do it. I'm not a Yankee fan.
Okay,
I have no reason to say. I'm going to raise my hand.
Yeah.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm seeing in Tampa makes no sense.
No sense at all.
That's all.
No.
I'm not going to lie. I actually like the take there. Like, this is actually a pretty good delivery by Evan Roberts with some golf claps because he's being a little bit sarcastic and having some
fun. The craftsmanship
there.
Is hello.
Yeah,
that was great.
But I mean, New York implying that another team is cheating—that is 100% on brand with what New York is, which is a soft city of excuse makers. What excuse do you make for paying the rent that you do to live in your little box?
But I like going on the subway.
Oh, have you been stabbed ever? How many penises have you seen on the subway? How many people have you seen just exposing themselves, huh? Have you seen someone doing the crack rock? What excuses do you make for that?
Oh, you gotta be from here to understand it.
It's really funny seeing posts online, specifically on Instagram, that dump on New York City and then reading the comments of people saying,
yeah, you're just not tough enough to be here, oh.
But then you make so many excuses for your ass bag sports teams. All of them suck. Jets suck. Always have, always will. Rodgers ain't changing that. Giants, yes, they had the two Super Bowls over the Patriots. Other than that, though, in my lifetime, good God. New York Knicks.
The Garden's got so much history.
Does it? Maybe they could get some humidity going for them because that's the big problem that they're having in Miami, right? Rangers, losers. Islanders, losers. Loser sports town. We didn't even talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Remember when they had Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden? That went well.
You're also forgetting the Mets.
Right,
how dare you forget the Mets?
Because they're, I mean, bless their hearts. Like, they're just bleeped to begin with. They built their stadium on an Indian burial ground or something. You know, you want to talk about, like, possible cheating going on in Tampa Bay? I just want to talk about, like, what the hell did the Mets do? What did they do? I mean, my God. Didn't their owner get implicated in the Madoff scandal? Like, how many L's can you take? And then, like, news tomorrow. Justin Verlander's leg amputated by, like, just falling glass door. That's what's next. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Oh, New York and their excuses. Just think it would be a tougher city. Coming up next, we wrap things up with a little garbage time. And for the second straight day, we are playing somebody ending their career on the radio. It's fun. Paul Galacho, don't go anywhere.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We've talked about Rafael Montero's struggles. We all know about him. We also talked about some things said by the Houston Texans. We compared C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson's live, laugh, love-esque quotes that they use. I'm a fan of what Will Anderson says at press conferences. Not everybody's for Alabama. And on top of that, the much, much, much better line saying, I haven't made it till I'm done. I like what he has to say much more than C.J. Stroud's, it's not on me, it's in me, or I got that dog in me. But perhaps our opinion can be changed over time. We also touched on in the last segment how ownership says for the Texans that they didn't force the draft pick of C.J. Stroud at number two. But this is a fun text because earlier today, a guy who regularly calls into the station and always brings up the element of our lack of diversity, Gary called in from the 346. I kind of wish they would fire Coach Ryans after the season just so Gary could have a stroke and wouldn't be able to call in again. That is mean. Don't wish death on people. Don't wish strokes on people. Okay, guys, that's not nice. That is not nice. We are the kind show of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know? I could have done a whole show just dumping on Jeremy for loving Rafael Montero, but I didn't because I'm a good man. Hey, guys, speaking of... I don't really have a transition
good
here.
Good men?
You can't really say that, can I? Sean's right here. Yesterday, we played some audio that may have gotten somebody fired. I think there's a chance that this gets West Virginia basketball coach Bob Huggins fired during a visit with WWL, a radio station in Cincinnati.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell you what, any school that can throw rubber penises on the floor and then say they didn't do it, by God, they can get away with anything.
rubber penis. Was this
I
like
think
a
that was at the Crosstown Shootout, wasn't it?
It was transgender night, wasn't it?
What?
Was that it?
It was a Crosstown Shootout. Yeah, no, what it was all those those Catholic things.
All right.
They were envious they didn't have one.
Steve, your comments about Bob Huggins. Is he the best?
He's the best.
The best ever.
So everyone's focusing on what Bob Huggins said, and he dropped the other F-bomb. I got to say, if you're saying stuff like this on the air in 2023, you're saying it in public, like you might take issue with someone getting fired for it, but it's like, come on, it's not that hard. It's not that hard to not drop the N-bomb. It's not that hard to not say the other F-bomb on the air. There's basically like three words you can't say. It's like those two and what, the C-word maybe? I don't even know if that, like it's legitimately those two. So Huggins says that. I'm not going to focus on Huggins. I got to focus on the two radio show dopes here. Like, what are you guys doing? I get it. You're uncomfortable that Bob Huggins just dropped two other F-bombs within a period of like 5 seconds. But your move is to awkwardly laugh and then toss to the other co-host and say, like, isn't he the best? And the other guy, who's not the one steering the ship, says, he's the best, he's the best. You guys suck. Like, you guys are terrible. What are you doing? Like, at that moment right there, you just got to hang up on Bob and be like, are you serious, Bob? Aren't you trying to help the guy out in some way, too? I'm assuming this is some sort of weekly appearance because clearly they're all familiar with one another, or maybe a monthly appearance or something like that. And that's what he does. Good God. And those hosts, like, you guys are probably more deserving of getting fired than yes. Bob Huggins at West Virginia. Because West Virginia, what, made the tournament this year, right? So
yeah, they made the tournament this year. They made it in 2021, but they haven't actually been that successful recently.
Right.
I pulled up their record just to see how easily Bob Huggins will be fired. Because I think if he was, you know, Coach K, if he was Bob Self or Bill Self, maybe he keeps his job. I don't think he does. Unlike the A's broadcaster, we talked about the A's broadcast and the etiquette of the co-host, way better than that.
Yes.
In the face of crisis management.
The co-host, I don't think, knew in the A's situation. This situation, they heard it and they're like, what a good guy. By the way, while we're on that word, there was a picture that went viral of Bob Huggins with guess who? From 2020. Somebody else who got in trouble for this.
He was with Tom Brenneman.
Tom Brenneman. The picture says, my close friend, Tom Brenneman. That's just unfortunate.
Oh,
that's
man.
Unfortunate on a day like today.
Was it before Tom Brenneman got himself fired?
It was. This was like 2020, I think the picture's from. It's just a funny picture. I saw a post on Barstool about it, and I was like, oh, of course.
Yeah, but I will say this one is the rare one where you can make the case that two people are getting fired from that clip.
Yeah, I honestly think three. What are you guys doing? What are you doing?
Isn't he
here?
The best?
There's definitely, as someone texted it, yeah, sensitivity training is definitely going to happen with them. They probably won't get fired, but I think they handled that horribly. Like, Bob Huggins, I'm sorry, I don't have high expectations. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in to today's show. We have a podcast. You can get after us on Twitch, of course. Make sure that you're listening to this radio station all day long. For Sean Mapes, our callers, our texters, Twitchers and tweeters, I am merely Paul Gallant, even Gary. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
Kind of have a chip on my shoulder a little bit. Like, I have that dog in me just...